Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham on AM 770 KTTH. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital Management, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often treacherous financial markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
All right. Welcome back. And thank you for joining us. Got to say it every week. Going to keep saying it. Got a great show planned for you. And it is, of course, the most scintillating hour of finance radio. We're going to make that a thing, Darren. I'm telling you, finance radio. And I'm not just joking around. I think there needs to be more of it, you know, the intersection of politics and finance. Wait, yeah, you're really talking up here, man. Thanks for joining us.
You don't want more competition, though, right?
Oh no, we're free market capitalists, baby. Bring it on, right? Yeah, no, let's.
That makes you better.
Yeah, you know, it sharpens the spear, right? Iron sharpening iron, all that stuff. No, you're probably right. It will be a one-show demographic, right? That's what we're after. Anyway, you know, we've been talking about it since the summer, but boy, things aren't boring anymore, are they? Wow, fireworks here. Okay, so let's get a quick rundown because I can't rant today. I cannot do these giant two-segment shows. We got to break this up because we got so much to cover. Obviously, we're going to start with the market update, which is, you know, I think that's going to be pretty important based on market moves and gyrations. And as always, guys, we're recording the show on Friday today. It's 10:53 right now. Dow's down 464. Before we get into the market update, though, I want to kind of give a synopsis of what we're going over today. So we're going to talk about rates again, not the same way we've talked about them in the past. But the catchphrase, an inverted yield curve, is coming up again. If you're like most of our clients and most of the people we've been meeting with, you're probably asking, what is that? And it always reminds me of a car ride I took with my dad when I think I was it a senior in high school? We were coming into the 99-2000 tech implosion. And if I remember correctly, the yield curve inverted going into that. And maybe not. Maybe it was the financial. Anyway, I remember having an extensive conversation about why is everybody talking about inverted yield curves? Why is everybody talking about it? And so we want to explain what that means. But also, when things like this happen, the charlatans come out of the woodwork. Okay, so once again, my promise to you, we're not going to pontificate. We're going to talk about the facts. If we don't know, we'll tell you, but we do know what the inverted yield curve is, and it's not a good sign, but we'll give you the facts. It's not as nasty as some of the people out there are saying. There's so many misconceptions, even about the people that are talking about it on TV, so we're going to do a section on rates, talking about, you know, that's what's driving everything right now, whether you know it or not. Anyway, we'll get into that. I'm having a hard time containing my rate enthusiasm here. We're also going to get into tariffs a little bit differently. Going to talk about Trump referring to himself as a tariff man, which might be a step too far. But anyway, we want to visit that again. Also going to go back to, and again, if you've listened to the show, one of the big things that we talked about at the end of last year was suppressed volatility. And we talked about it all the time because I think it's something that people ignored. Obviously, people didn't see it coming when it created that disaster at the end of January and going into February of this year. And the whole volatility complex exploded. VIX went from 13 to, I want to say, 52, maybe got as high as 60 in a two-day period of time. It was great for us because we were long volatility in our clients' portfolios at the time. And but we're going to talk about that because the reverberations of that, we're still dealing with them. And as I thought, and I've been wrong before, but as I thought at the time, when something like that happens, it's not a one-off, right? We're going to have, it leaves ripple effects. We're throwing a big rock into the pond. And we're still dealing with that day. So want to visit that a little bit. And then want to do an update. Got a little family anecdotal conversation to talk about. And I think it really highlights the whole take on the dirtiest word in investing, annuity. And if you hear that word and you want to run, fine. But don't. Just educate yourselves, right? It's what the show is all about. Educating you, arming you with information. You need to know. So we're going to visit the dirtiest word in investing with a little family slash anecdotal example for you guys. Okay, so without further ado, let's get into the markets. Wild ride. Weird week, too, with the one day off with the Bush funeral. Rest in peace, George H.W. Not a huge fan politically, but a good man, and it did a lot for our country, and you know, want to wish him Godspeed. But anyway... So a weird week all the way around. We come in just like we thought on Monday, and I was kind of sitting there when the news came out Saturday that Trump and Xi Jinping, obviously the leader of the Communist Party in China, had their their summit, their meeting, if you will. I love how it's always a summit, right? If you're really important, I should start referring to them as summits, client summits. With our clients. You think that'd fly, Darren? Summits? Don't you like that? It's more official, right? I'm not going to a meeting. I'm going to a summit. Anyway, I'm getting off course. but so they had this meeting, right? And they're going to resolve the trade issues. It's a one-off. We're getting, and sure enough, futures open on Sunday night and market is rocking. And I just started laughing because remember I told you last week on the show, we said, I'm going to break all the rules. I'm going to do what my wife tells me not to do, which is very rarely a good idea. she keeps me in line. But we're going to break all the rules. And I'm going to tell you, look, this for the first time that we've done this show in 3 years, I said, okay, guys, this is not looking good, right? Then the news comes out about the summit. Futures go up. And I just started laughing because I was like, sure enough, I put myself out there and the market's going to race to the upside. But anyway... That was short-lived. That's a rally to sell. And if you're just joining us, this is Know Your Risk Radio, and I'm Zach Abraham. But anyway, so the futures are rallying. They're ripping your face. Monday was up something like 500 points on the Dow, and I want to say like 70 or 80 on the S&P. But it was interesting because it was in all the places you wouldn't think it should be. Tech was rallying really hard. And it didn't look, it wasn't enough to change our outlook. And then sure enough, we give it all back plus some on Tuesday, right? We're 800 down. Then yesterday, that's one of the biggest reversals I've ever seen in my career. Dow down 800. And more impressively yesterday, the NASDAQ was down 160 at one point. And then, like magic, Jay Powell trots out there and says we might reconsider rate hikes. And you guys, that's one of the scariest things I think I've heard in a long time. And here's why. At the bottom yesterday, when the bottom's falling out of market, we're 12% off all-time highs. Are central bankers now worried about 12% pullbacks off of all-time highs? And if they are, why? And I think this goes into a conversation that we've been having for a long time now. When you have a financialized economy like we do, we talked about these stats not too long ago. In 1960, when we looked at household wealth, we were at, 13% of household wealth in the 60s was intangible assets, stocks, bonds, things like that. 87% was tangible, meaning cash, CDs, savings accounts. Today, we're at 91% intangible assets and 9% tangible, right? We refer to that as the financialization of the economy. Everything's a stock or a security or everything like that. Now, here's the issue. We all know that we've got a debt issue in this economy. We also know that we've got a huge, I'm blanking here. Where are you at, Darren? When I need you, the deficit, excuse me. Sorry, guys. A little slow on the take this morning, apparently. Anyway, when you've got a deficit like this, and listen, we're running a $1 trillion deficit in a hot economy. That's insane. But here's one of the issues, and I think this is one of the things that the central bankers and Jay Powell specifically are responding to. A, they know that if asset prices drop right now and we have a recession or something bad happens, there's going to be a massive amount of political instability. Personally, I don't think the culture can handle a really nasty recession at this point. And at best, I think it's a precarious situation, right? The other aspect of it, though, is the funding of the federal deficit. And what I mean by that is when 91% of household wealth is in intangible assets, you need the cap gains tax off of that. And the only way you're going to keep getting cap gains taxes is if asset prices are going up, right? If you're losing money, you're not paying cap gains. And I don't know this for sure, but when you lay out the pieces, you're sitting there scratching your head going, whoa, whoa, whoa. Central bankers are now responding to 12% market gyrations off of all-time highs? Crazy. So anyway, he comes out and gives that statement or whatever it was, or released minutes. I was actually in meetings all day, so I missed it. But sure enough, market just tears off. The NASDAQ went green on the day. It was a 3% intraday swing, which is just unbelievable. And to me, it was a really scary sign. And then what's happening today, I think, is even scary. And I'll tell you why. Again, not panic. I'm not trying to induce panic or freak people out. But you got to know the risks, right? This is Know Your Risk Radio. So the reason why it was scary to me is because everything that got bid up yesterday in that great comeback was all garbage. It was all the high-flying tech. I was looking at people on message boards and on Twitter, sitting there going, oh, the coast is clear, great, the Fed puts back on, let's do. And the amount of carelessness, the amount of recklessness, and the amount of complacency out there is insane. It's just insane. But what I did think yesterday off that rally, that massive interday swing, is I thought, uh-oh, here comes the Santa Claus rally, we're back on. Today we open up, Dow's down another 450 points. It's just not a good setup. I'm going to keep saying it over and over. We warned you 3.5 to 4 months ago about tech stocks. We all know that story, right? We warned you at the beginning of the year about volatility. Now all these recessionary signs are starting to stack up. We talked about that a lot last week. And if you didn't hear the show, go back and listen to it again. And if you're new listening, this is not gloom and doom, right? That's not gloom and doom is to sell advertising, really. Right? We don't do that. This is information. We're trying to make you aware of the risks that are out there and what we can do. Action items, right? Preparing ourselves for that. And listen, the other aspect of this is that if what's happened this week is rocking your world, it's because you're not prepared. It's because you're not in the right portfolio. What do we say? You know, this might sound reckless, but I think a lot of the principles of gambling should move over into the way you think about investing. Now, let me explain this before I sound reckless. What I mean by that is when we go to a casino, most of us, and if there's degenerate gamblers out there, forgive me, I'm not promoting gambling. I don't want you at the casino, you know, gambling away the kids' college fund. It's not what I'm advocating. But what I am saying is that most of us responsible adults, we sit in there and go, look, we're only going to gamble what we can afford to lose. When you are in the longest bull market of all time, which is where we are, with the highest stock market valuations of all time, what should your exposure to equities be? Here's what you can do. You can take that asset allocation model that your financial advisor gave you, make a paper airplane out of it and give it to your kids. Okay, because it's useless. And the reason it's useless is because we've never been here before. And if you think those asset allocation models hold in an environment like this, they don't. Your returns are not going to be 11% a year on stocks over the next 10 years. I don't know what they'll be, but I guarantee you they won't be that. It ain't going to happen. So what I mean by exporting those gambling, the principles of gambling, how much exposure should you have to equities? No more than you can afford to lose. Bottom line. Now, look, and I'm not talking my own book here. I manage equities for a living. Okay? Now, there's things that we can do because we do this for a living. We can hedge accounts and do things, you know, that home game. And don't try to do that, guys. That was a painful learning process. That was a painful learning process for us. I would strongly suggest don't go out there and buy inverse ETFs, and not because you're not smart, just because you haven't done it for a really long time and you haven't studied. Just it's not something you should mess around with. But what should your exposure be to risk assets right now? No more than you can afford to lose, because the outlook isn't good. As a matter of fact, Jeremy Grantham, the head of GMO, which is a famous money management firm, and I think I've mentioned this on the show before, they looked at current stock valuations and compared them to all the times in the past and said, okay, when valuations got anywhere close to the levels that they're currently at, what was the average corresponding return over the following 7 years? Okay, this is going back 150 years. And by those numbers right now, on the average, your annual return on stocks, GMO has it at about negative 4% per year. Okay, it's not good. I know I don't need to alliterate or illuminate that fact. You can probably figure that much out for yourself. But what it does tell us is this whole model of you're going to make 11% on your stocks like clockwork is nonsense. Okay, so there is a little bit of a rant, right? I already broke my own rules. wait, it's I can't help it. Anyway, okay, so the other thing that we see going on in markets, oil is not showing good signs here. We can't really figure out right now if that's a lack of consumption. We're seeing inventory builds across the complex in oil, but at the same time, we're also still producing it like crazy. What was it last week? We're exporting about 3.5 million barrels a day. And we are now officially a net exporter of oil. So some of that might be an oversupply issue. But it might also be a demand issue. Really, it's too early to know. And the reason we look at that is for the same reason, less so now, but for the same reason we used to look at copper and refer to it as Dr. Copper, right? It's an indication of, you know, industry and how fast things are cranking and car. You know, we've talked about that on the show before. But yeah, oil is still kind of giving confounding signs. And again, if we look at it, just look at a chart of oil, it looks recessionary as well. We're getting a lot of these recessionary signals. One of the really interesting things, I think, now I'm getting kind of wonkish on you here, a little bit out in the weeds. One of the really interesting things that we see going on right now is gold is acting pretty strong. Let's see. I haven't looked at it in the last hour or so. Gold, yeah, good day on gold here. Interesting thing. Gold and the dollar are moving in lockstep. Now, we got to dig deep. We did a gold special on the show about 2 years ago, and I said that one of the things that we were looking for in gold markets to signal a bottom is when gold and the dollar start moving together. And when we said that, people said, what are you talking about? That's not possible. Gold can only go up if the dollar goes down. And look, that may play out. This is a theory. That may play out to be true. But the theory we had behind that is as long as printing money, as long as this endless flow of fiat currency keeps markets afloat and keeps juice in the economy, as much as I'm a fan of gold long term, there's really no need for it. As long as this great experiment is still rolling and we can print prosperity without supposedly without inflation, what do you need gold for? Well, that's until things start getting real. And when things start getting real and the sugar high of all of this printed fiat currency starts to wear off and an inevitable crisis pops up somewhere in the globe, there's going to be a scramble for liquidity and there's going to be a scramble for safe assets. And so our theory behind that was, look, you'll probably see gold and the dollar rise at the same time, as crazy as that sounds. And it was a theory, still is. I don't have a crystal ball, say that all the time, but we're seeing that. We're starting to see that. Where are we at on the DXY here for the dollar? Let me pull that up really quick and confirm, but the dollar's been really strong. We've seen significant rallies over the last year, and gold has bottomed and is starting to show some bullish signs at the same time. That's really interesting, and it's definitely something we want to keep a look at. Okay, so the dollar's basically flat on the day, but gold's solidly up, and gold's been moving up. That's why we put on a decent-sized gold position in the active managed account 3 days ago. Timing was a little bit lucky, but that's it's doing great, and it's buoying our accounts, and we're taking some losses on a day like today, but we're not bad down anywhere near as bad as the market is, thank goodness. The other thing, too, I'm already extending this out way too long, okay? But there is a misnomer that I've run into a couple times in the last couple weeks, and that is this cash issue. Well, I'm not paying you to sit in cash. I said to the client both times, said to the client, I know you're not. You're paying me to know when to go into cash. That's what you're paying me for. And he goes, well, if you move 20 or 30%, because what was it, 7 weeks ago, we went to 30% cash in the portfolios. And he goes, well, are you still going to charge me a management fee on that portion we moved to cash? And I said, yeah. He goes, well, I don't like that. And I said, okay, well, then, you know, not being rude, but go somewhere else. And he didn't. He became a client. But I explained to him, I go, look, it's not, if asset prices drop 40% and you're sitting in cash, that's a beautiful thing. Don't be allergic to owning cash. Cash has incredible optionality. As a matter of fact, it's got the most optionality. Don't be allergic to holding cash in the portfolio. I don't care what anybody tells you. It's nonsense. Some of the greatest investors in the world, Warren Buffett, who hates cash. Berkshire's got 100, maybe it's gone down a little bit because they made a couple small purchases, but he's over $100 billion in cash sitting on the balance sheet. It's 25% of Berkshire Hathaway's market cap. And here's what I do know. You may not have faith in how I do things. You may not think I'm a proficient investor, but go argue with Warren Buffett about it. I guarantee you nobody listening to this radio show has got a better track record than he does. But don't be allergic to cash, guys. So anyway, we got to get moving along here. But as always, if you're not talking about this kind of stuff, you're flying blind. If your advisor isn't talking to you about this kind of stuff, you're flying blind. You're seeing what we're getting. Look, it doesn't feel fun, but what we've been experiencing this week, take it as a gift. It's a preview. It's a preview of the inevitability of it all. Remember that scene in The Matrix? You smell that, Mr. Anderson? That's the smell of inevitability. That's what I was thinking when I watched the Dow down 800 points the other day. I was like, hey, guys, it's been a long time. It's been a decade run here, okay? But this is what it's like. Remember 08-09? And we're not trying to scare people, but this is what happens. Markets go down. And if you're not prepared for it, if you're freaking out like some of the clients that are panic moving money to us, and it's great, we want new clients. But don't panic. Have a plan. Be proactive. If you've got a portfolio in this environment that if you take, well, first of all, that can lose 40%, and if that impedes your lifestyle or that's a problem for you, then you're overexposed. And we don't need to give away gains. And we're going to talk about this in the Dirtiest Word in Investing segment that we've got coming up later. But we don't need to give up gains. We can increase security, lower cost, and give you more upside to the market. So, like I say all the time, if we're wrong, we're not building a portfolio based on what Zach thinks is going to work. If we're wrong, you're going to do better than the portfolio you currently have. The big difference is that if we're right, you're fine. And it's not one thing. It's diversified. It's a totally diversified portfolio. And by the way, our average client's cutting their fees in half. If that's not a situation you're in, if you're feeling rattled by this or you're feeling scared, give us a call. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. You can go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com. Links to Bulwark. You guys know the deal by now. You can shoot me an email. You don't have to talk to us directly. You can get our free booklet. Call us. Email us. We can do a portfolio review on the phone. I can meet with you in person. Or we can also do it over email if you don't want to talk, right? Maybe you think we've got a really greasy sales pitch or something, or we're going to sell your information to Facebook. We don't do any of that. It's not how we operate. But just educate yourself, guys. This should be a wake-up call. Treat it as a wake-up call. Embrace the opportunity. Anyway, we got to run. I violated my own rules like I do all the time on this show. We ranted, but we're going to be right back, and we're going to discuss rates, explain the inverted yield curve, Stick with us. We'll be right back. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Many people with near or over $1 million in assets will mistakenly pay more in taxes in a long-term care situation than it would have cost them to set up an insurance plan to pay for the care needed. And due to recent changes in the Pension Protection Act, these new asset-based plans guarantee a tax-free benefit for long-term care and pay you back with interest if you never use it. But most importantly, it's about having a plan. All your children have to do is carry out your wishes, and you're not a burden on them. And that's why I love the advice we got from Brian Ott and 525 Advisors. Brian's final class of the year is coming up Friday, December 14th in Bellevue. This class is aimed at individuals and couples who have accumulated close to or more than $1 million in assets and may be considering to self-fund long-term care costs in the future. Learn why that is not the best idea. Seating's limited for Brian's last class of the year, December 14th in Bellevue. Reserve your spot right now, 525longtermcare.com, 525longtermcare.com.
Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. So why risk it? Hey, it's Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer of Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. Call now and get our brand new version of Common Sense Investing. It's our complimentary booklet that shows you how you can protect your retirement portfolio against loss, but still participate in market gains. Safety doesn't have to mean lower returns. Our clients have increased their returns while being insured against loss. And like our client Dory Monson says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning.
I am indeed a client, Zach, and I got to tell you, you have to read Zach's brand new version of Common Sense Investing. You'll learn how to protect your retirement against loss, but still participate in market gains. Call now, get your free copy, 866-779-RISK. That's 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Bulwark Capital Management's a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, we are back, and I'm pumped. I'm probably, you know what, I might be the only guy that gets pumped to talk about interest rates. But it's fascinating. It's just, and if you're just joining us, see, I already jumped right into it. I didn't even introduce anything. I didn't even explain to you what you're listening to. So we just got done with the market update, did a market synopsis. If you want to know really what happened in the market and you're just now joining us, you can go on the podcast show. You can get it on My Northwest. You can just Google Know Your Risk Radio and you'll get a bunch of different. There must be bots out there that push these podcasts out because our podcast is all over the place. And I just sat there and I went, weird, that's not affiliated with us. One even had like a synopsis of the episode. I didn't even know who they were. Must be some kind of bot that, I don't know, it was weird. Anyway, you can get anywhere. And again, it's our pledge to you guys. If we don't know, we're going to say we don't know. Okay, but we spent a lot of time studying this and researching this. And here comes another shameless plug. I love them. But look, this is not a market to be sticking with averages. And if you don't believe me, let's just take a step back and look at this kind of from a philosophical angle. And it's something that we all know. I don't care if it's finance, markets, a marriage. I don't care what it is. If we have extraordinary inputs, and this is what kills me about financial advising today or the industry as a whole. And again, they're honest people. The vast majority of them are good people. But, you know, it doesn't mean they know squat about this. And again, I don't say that arrogant. It just frustrates me how much work and study and research we put into it. And I hear these other financial advisors, 11% in stocks and 6% in bonds and just stick with it and ride it out. If that's the philosophy, why pay them? If they're not spending time trying to figure out what's going on in the markets, and I'm not talking about market timing. But I will say this, for all those anti-market timers out there, you'd have loved that market timing that we did in 07. Going 100% U.S. Treasuries in November of 2007. Go try to tell my clients that market timing doesn't work. Now, again, I'm not advocating market timing. I'm not saying we should get in and out. What I am saying, though, is that we have to be aware of conditions in markets, because that is a big input to us calculating what is an appropriate amount of risk to take. And that's really what a financial planner and a fiduciary is, or it should be, is a risk manager. Sometimes, even if you're 75 years old, sometimes you should have 65% exposure to stocks. Others, 30. But it needs to be dynamic. And do you know why the big firms, many of which I've worked for, do you know why they don't tell that? They don't want their brokers and advisors who know nothing, who've never managed a portfolio. Some of them have never even put through a stock trade, for crying out loud. You ask them what a spread is, and they look at you like you got, you know, like you got a third eye growing out of your head or something. Anyway, the reason they don't talk about it, they don't want their brokers out there doing that. Because what do they want to do? They want to collect their fees. Right? They also want distribution for their real clients, which are the companies that are trying to push their debt and push their equity. You guys know this. You look, you know you don't have friends on Wall Street, so why is your money at their banks? Anyway, see, I came in here going, I'm not going to rant. That's all I've done. Can't help myself, people. There's a lot of extraordinary stuff going on. You're going to have to forgive my exuberance. But anyway, let's get into the discussion about rates. Okay, so one of the things we talk about all the time on the show is charlatans, avoiding charlatans, right? And what is a charlatan? Somebody who puts themselves out there as an expert and doesn't know what they're talking about, right? It's like a fraudulent thing. Now, we don't put our, I guess we're kind of putting ourselves out there as an expert, but we have a commitment and we follow up on that, which is if we don't know, we'll say we don't know, right? We don't know everything. Never will. Don't purport to. But some of these things are really basic. So now you guys know my thought on the market. I'm concerned. Valuations are obscene. Longest bull market, record debts, blah, blah, blah. We all know the story. Okay. But at the same time, we have to have a commitment to the truth. Right? That's all that matters. Save your opinions. Just give me the facts. So I heard this market expert trotted out on TV the other day. And she was talking about an inverting yield curve. It's been the buzzword all week, right? And we'll get into what an inverted yield curve is, because there's so many misnomers wrapped around it, and we've actually spent a lot of time studying it. Again, remember, I'm an interest rate nerd. But she comes out there and she says, okay, now we've got an inverted yield curve. This is recessionary. And I started laughing. And the reason I started laughing is the yield curve is big. Okay, and what I mean by big is it has several different bond issuance in it, and I'll explain to you the different terms. But if we look at the Federal Reserve, or excuse me, the system we've got here in this country with U.S. Treasuries, we got 1 year bonds, we got 2 year bonds, we got 5 year bonds, we've got 10 year bonds, we've got 30 year bonds. Has that whole yield curve inverted? Now, what an inverted yield curve? I digress. Let's set the stage here. What an inverted yield curve means, it's actually a very basic principle. If you go to a bank and you buy a 2 year CD, and they show you the first CD they show you is a 2 year CD, maybe it's making what, 2% or 1.9 or something like that, right? And then the next thing they pull out is a 5 year CD. Naturally, anyway, most of us, naturally, the minute they show us that 5 year CD, we're assuming what? We're assuming that if we lock up for a longer period of time, we're going to get paid more interest per year, right? And if we go out on a 10-year CD, we'll get even more. And we go out on a 30-year CD, we'll get even more, okay? That's the yield curve. That's what we refer to as the yield curve. Same works in mortgages, right? You get a 15-year mortgage, are you going to pay less interest or more interest than a 30-year? You're going to pay less. How about a 10-year? Same, right? So that's the yield curve. And we talk about yield curves inverting. It means that longer dated stuff, so in this case, let's say we're comparing and this is actually the real comparison, and I'll get into that in a second, but we've got a 10-year bond and a 2-year bond. That means that you're getting paid more interest on the 2-year bond than you are the 10-year bond. Seems weird, right? Why would anybody do that? Well, I'll explain. We'll get into that. So anyway, though, this lady comes out and goes, we've got an inverted yield curve. I started laughing. She goes on to explain, it's the 3 and the 5s. So the 3-year treasuries, 5-year treasuries had flipped. 5-year was now yielding less. We were getting paid less interest on a 5-year note and a 3-year note. The reason I laughed is because that's not the yield curve. It's a segment of the yield curve. Okay. The other reason I laughed is when we look over the last 90 years, the 3 and 5s have inverted 76 times. 76 times. And we had 9 recessions. Right? 76 times the 3s and 5s have inverted. We had 9 recessions. Okay, so the vast majority of time, as a matter of fact, I can't do the math in my head, but probably like 85% of the time, 3s and 5s invert, there's no recession. 85%, that's pretty good odds. Right? When we look at a yield curve inverting, it's the 10s and the 2s. When the 10s and 2s invert, we've had a recession every single time. And we've been talking about this for a while, and we've probably said it many times. But that's a factor that we always keep an eye on, because there's only 2 data points that have 100% accuracy in predicting recessions. And that is an inverted yield curve, specifically the 10s and the 2-year treasuries, and ISM and PMI numbers falling below 50, which means they're contracting. Okay? So 10s and 2s have not inverted, and PMIs and ISM readings are still above 50, which means they're not contracting. Now, you guys know my outlook. I think we've got a lot of recessionary things, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you we're headed into recession until we know, or until we got the data points. And this is one of the things that ticks me off. We're trotting this lady out there as an expert. And it's nothing personal against her. But it just illustrates why we can't listen to everybody. There's just a lot of ignorance out there. There are a lot of charlatans that don't even know they are. And more importantly, something that disgusts me on a personal level is the vast majority of people don't do their homework. Just because you got a microphone in front of you, or just because you got a TV camera in front of you, doesn't mean you know what you're talking about. And if you don't believe me, just turn on MSNBC. Ah, little stick there. You like that one? I can't help myself. When we started this show, I swore I wasn't going to get into politics. I really did. And I intended it. But the yeah. Okay, we're going to derail. Hold on. Pull it back. Pull it back. And if you're just joining us, this is Know Your Risk Radio, and I'm Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. So anyway, now here's the big thing. Why would somebody accept, what does that mean if a 10-year treasury is paying us less interest than a 2-year treasury? What it means is that more people are in the market buying that 10-year treasury than they are the 2. The buying power gets high enough. And the yield on these drops, the yield on these bonds, and that's true with any bond, right? It's like, think of yield. Yields going lower is like a stock going up, okay? Because it means more people want to own it. And the reason we know that is because if people don't want to own it, the price of the bond starts dropping, which means the bond starts yielding more. I hope that makes sense. Okay, so we'll move on. And you can kind of Google this stuff too, but if you can conceptualize it makes sense. So, but the reason why that's important, why does that happen leading into recessions? Well, A, it happens because in recessions, interest rates drop. And interest rates drop because people sell risk assets and there's a flight to safety. And whether good or bad, with all of our issues in mind, the United States Treasury is still seen as the asset of last resort. So that's where capital floods into in times of duress. And for an example, go look at bond rates right now. Yield on the 10-year has gone from 3.25 to 2.86 in the last month and a half. It's a substantial pullback. Right? Why? Because we're getting recessionary signals. So now there's another great question that I got yesterday. They go, okay, Zach, I get that. I get that whole yield curve inversion. But still, why would somebody want a 10-year bond that's paying less than a 2-year bond? It doesn't make any sense. I can see them going to parity. I can see them going to the same thing if we're not worried about rate increases. Well, here's why. We'll take a little bit less yield on the 10-year bond because it's a longer, it's got 10 years, which means its price is less volatile. Right? So if I've got the option of two bonds that are paying 2.5%, and remember, and in finance, we always know in the investing community, what we're always worried about is if we're wrong. So if we're wrong and it's not recessionary and rates are going to continue to go up, I don't want to lose a lot of money. So by buying the 10-year bond, which is less volatile, it'll give me more time to get out. And that's the basic reason why we see yield curves invert. That's the basic reason. And so when you're listening to these people talking about inverted yield curves, first of all, you need to ask them, well, which part of the yield curve are you talking about? Because the whole thing isn't inverted. It's still positive. Is it threes and fives? Well, those have inverted 76 times. We've had a recession 9. We call that the 3 and 5 year bond inverting has predicted 76 of the last 9 recessions. Right? It's kind of a, well, see, now I'm really highlighting what a finance geek I am. I think that's funny. My kids call that a dad joke. Anyway, but so beware of the charlatans, guys. Know where you're getting your information. Okay? And talk about facts. You know, listen to these guys. Oh, this bull market's got another 10 years to run. Oh, okay. That's not factual. Let's talk about facts. Let's talk about any time, if we look back over the last 100 years, any time we bought the S&P. Now, I'm flipping. I'm getting a little away from rates here. But any time we bought the S&P 500, save for an anomaly that occurred in 08, 09. Okay, so let's not look at that one right now. But every other time, when you bought the S&P at a P.E. ratio of 20 or more, your annual returns over the next 10 years at best were 4% a year. And most of the time, it was lower than that. Now, what do stocks average? What is the advisor telling you? They average 11, right? What does that mean if you're averaging 4? It means you got a big nasty drop in there somewhere. Now, conversely, if you bought the S&P or stocks on the S&P at a P.E. ratio of less than 12, on average, your expected annual return is north of 15 over the following 10 years. Okay, those are facts. Those are unescapable facts. Don't listen to people. Don't get scared and never let fear motivate your decisions. And if it is, you're too exposed to risk, period. And if that's the case, watch this seamless transition here. This is good. See, this is the stuff I've learned. This, you know, I'm talking myself up here. But if these are not discussions you're having or if you're worried, it's because you're overexposed. If you're overexposed, give us a call. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. You can also go to knowyourriskradio.com, which has got a link to Bulwark's website. You can sign up for our free newsletter. You can request the free booklet. You can even call. This might sound like more of a threat than an offer, but you can even call and have a talk with me, or we can set up a meeting and do a portfolio review. And look, guys, we're just going to give you the facts. Look, it's not snake oil. We can drastically reduce your risk, on average, cut your costs in half, and improve your upside, give you more upside. So give you a protected portfolio, but if we're wrong and everything's fine, right? Debt's no longer a problem. We can print our way to prosperity. I'm betting against it, right? But if I'm wrong, I was explaining that to a client the other day. I said, look, we as fiduciaries, your portfolio has to work whether we're right or not, because your retirement's a certainty, right? The rest of your life is a certainty. So if we're sitting there building a portfolio going, well, you know, if things work out, you're going to be great. Who pays for that? It's crazy. It's a racket. Anyway, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. And look, if you don't want to talk to anybody, you can email us directly too. Or, hey, look, the other thing too I want to open up. If you have topics you'd like to hear us discuss on the show, shoot us an email. We get those sometimes, but not as much as we'd like to. If you got something you want to hear us, and if I don't know about it, I'll research it. But it's always fun to kind of do topics that other people want to listen to, because believe it or not, I do get tired of listening to myself. My wife might not agree. But anyway, all right, we got to get moving. We're going to move on to tariffs real quick. I'm lingering. Gosh darn it. It's so hard to stick to this guy. Anyway, we'll be right back, though. Stick with us. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
What does outside-the-box investing really look like? Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management, and see a side-by-side comparison of your current portfolio versus one Zach would recommend. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with my financial advisor, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. And Zach, what I love about you guys is your focus on risk management.
Well, Dory, we're a fiduciary and a holistic retirement planning firm. Our goals are simple. Get our clients the highest returns with the least amount of risk and cost.
I know they're normally used for safety, but how risky are bonds right now?
If a significant portion of your retirement portfolio is in cash or bonds, that just doesn't work in this low interest rate environment on the verge of inflation. You need a bond replacement strategy.
I gotta tell you, you have to read it. Zach's brand new version of Common Sense Investing. You'll learn that bond replacement strategy, learn how to protect your retirement against loss, but still participate in market gains. Call now, get your free copy, 866-779-RISK. That's 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Bulwark Capital Management's a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, we're back. And we're going to jump right into it. I've got to save some time here. This is like a broken record. We should probably say something about it like in the commercials. Look, whatever he says he's going to talk about over the next hour, it's going to be truncated in some fashion because he's going to get off on a rant. Forgive me. Anyway, so we said we were going to talk about, so we got three things. We got to talk about volatility, the dirtiest word in investing, and the whole tariff man comment. Okay, we've talked a lot about tariffs and how we think people are responding to them wrong, and tariffs are bad if you have free trade, which we haven't had with China for 25 years. So we have more fair trade, but we don't have free trade. We haven't. Right? Oh, you're starting a trade war. We've been in a trade war for two and a half decades, man. You just didn't know it. And if you don't believe it, head to the Rust Belt. Go look at the opioid epidemic, right? Which, interestingly enough, we have another. I'm literally sitting here emailing the guy right now. Guy by the name of Todd Harrison, been in the investing world for a long time. Good track record. Worked on trade. Anyway, he's gotten really into. Now, just stick with me. Look, I know who the audience is. 770. We think alike. We talk politics. So just stay with me. But he's doing a lot of work and a lot of investing in the medical marijuana side of things right now. And I've really had to open up to that because there's some brilliant, brilliant stuff going on. There's some unforeseen benefits in medicinal ways. I'm not advocating everybody go out there and pull a Bob Marley and roll a big joint. We're not talking about that. Okay, but there are some amazing things happening on the medical front. And the other side of it is we all need to come to a rational conclusion, in my humble opinion, that if marijuana replaces opioids as a way to treat pain, it's probably going to be a good thing, guys. People don't get hooked on marijuana and decide to transfer to heroin. Can it be a gateway drug? Yes. But it's better than giving them heroin, right? Not to mention the health. Anyway, in a medicinal capacity, there's fascinating things going on. And we've never invested in marijuana companies before because of my issues with it, with our clients' issues with it. But again, we need to be open-minded. We need to know the facts, right? Not rely on sound bites and, you know, just overreaching blanket arguments and statements. We need to know the facts. And Todd is a brilliant guy, great investor, great track record. We're working out the dates. We're going to have him on. Still working on Jonathan Tepper. He's running all over the country and world doing promotion for his book. But he's committed to come on the show, and he's apologized he hasn't been on so far. So anyway, and if you haven't listened to the show before, Jonathan Tepper is the author of the new book, Myth of Capitalism. We're going to have him on. But yeah, we're going to talk with Todd Harrison. Anyway, I'm already getting off track. But the whole tariff man comment coming from Trump. That was the first time that I think I've been scared by these tariff situations. Because, look, Trump is a construction guy. Okay, and he's a smart guy. Obviously, he's accomplished a lot. He's certainly accomplished more than anybody in Congress, despite what the left leaning, not leaning, like right diving off the cliff left, media would have you believe. Now, has he accomplished as much as he says he has? Well, no, I don't. Donald Trump is by far Donald Trump's biggest fan, which would make him no different than any other politician in D.C. Some irony there. Anyway, but the tariff man comment kind of concerned me. And the reason it concerned me is because he's not a finance guy. And I thought, oh, goodness, he doesn't actually think that these are beneficial, does he? Because tariffs aren't. We've talked about it. It's a tax. And it's a tax that we as U.S. citizens pay. Now, we've talked about the benefits. It makes fairer trade and all that kind of stuff. But I just sat there and I went, oh. Now, the flip side of that is, does he really think that, or is he dumb like a fox? Right? Is this all posturing? And that's one of the things that I really appreciate him for. He's actually negotiating with countries like China. And the other thing I love is when he sits there and talks about, look, I'm not going to come out and say we're going to do this. You know, like Obama's line in the sand. That was he really laid down the lumber on that call, didn't he? Old iron-fisted Obama. The line in the sand. When no one's looking, they just kick it away, right? Oh, it turns back. Oh, the line's gone. Well, just do whatever you want, I guess. No, but you know, I like the fact that he sticks to that. And that he approaches it from that angle. At the same time, I got a little concerned. Because tariffs aren't good. They're not. Now, they're good if they get us free trade with China. And that's the only time they should be used. And as far as that goes, I think he's dead on. Okay, so we got to do some consolidating, Darren. We're going to run with it. I'm going to just condense these. You called it. Okay, so the other thing we want to talk about is volatility. Now, let's do a little primer on volatility. For those of you that don't know what it is, pull up CNBC's landing page, CNBC.com. Go look at their market section. Okay, it's got the Dow, S&P, NASDAQ, Russell 2000, and then you see a green box that says VIX. Well, it's green on days when the VIX is up. What is VIX? Everybody goes volatility. It means stocks are going up and down. No, it's not. It's the pricing of options. Okay, and we don't have time to get in here what that all means. But basically, it's like this. Options are like bets on securities. Okay, so because of that, they have inherent leverage and they've got time constraints. You know, so you buy an option for that's good for 6 months. If what you think is going to happen doesn't occur in 6 months, the money you spent on the option evaporates. It's gone. You're out your money. And volatility, really what that means is it's the expected swings in any given security or any given market. If volatility is really low, that usually means that there's not a lot of churn in markets and they're usually going up in a steady fashion, not crazy. When volatility is high, typically means asset prices are going down. It doesn't have to, but it does. Think of it as commitment. Think of it as, you know, tenacity, right? Meaning that the more convicted people are that markets are going to go down, the more they'll pay for a put option, which will pay them money if the markets go down. And that increased amount that they will pay for that option, essentially, is volatility. Okay, and we did a ton of work on this at the end of last year in November and December, warning you about the coming volatility implosion. And don't take my word for it. I tell clients all the time, being on the radio is good and bad. Right, it's good because what you think is on the record. It's bad because if you're wrong, there's no way to get away from it. This isn't DC, right? We can't say one thing. I didn't say that, right? No, it's immortalized. But anyway, go back and listen to that. And basically, I'm telling you, go back and listen to it because we were right. but we know what we're talking about. We've spent a lot of time studying this, and we knew that the coming volatility implosion was going to happen. And we said when it does, it's not going to be a one-off event. It's going to create, again, ripples in the pond, right? And that's what's happened. Look at the average volatility this year. VIX is traded consistently between 17 and 20, which is much more realistic. Remember, we had a three-year run where the VIX was averaging 10 to 11, the volatility index. And we spent a lot of time talking about that, but that was mainly because people were shorting it and those people got wrecked. And that's why we bought volatility in our clients' accounts in January. Got a little bit lucky on the timing on that one. We saw volatility pop up on a day when stocks were up, and that's an odd thing. And we thought, oh, here we go. This might be it. And sure enough, we bought volatility right around 13, I want to say, 12 or 13, and it went to 52 in, goodness, like 4 days, something. Well, you can't have a change like that because now all those people, there was literally a guy running out of short vol fund. He was shorting volatility. He lost 98%. He was managing $12.5 million. He lost 98% in 2 days. So that money is gone. Those people have been scared out, and they're not tamping down volatility anymore. So volatility is acting more normal than it did in the past, certainly than it did over the last 2 years. And what are we seeing? We're seeing more. Now, look, markets are still on a heroin high from printed money, but they're acting more rational. We're seeing ups and downs moves. I know it's not pleasant, but guys, this is what tops of markets look like. And I'm not saying the market can't go up. What I'm saying is that when we combine this market action with the stuff we're seeing in the yield curve, because it hasn't inverted yet, but it's flattening. We saw housing. Now, it hasn't fallen off a cliff, but housing is down from its highs over the last 12 months. Housing peaked out. Okay. So did automobile sales. These are big, big indicators of a coming recession. It's not a guarantee. Right? We don't fire until we see the whites in their eyes. They're not there yet. What it does do, again, the bell is ringing, people. The bell is ringing. Measure your risk. Know, at least know what your risk exposure is. Do you know how much you could lose? Do you know? And I hate it when people quote to me, well, you know, this portfolio in 2008, it only lost 25%. Guys, yields weren't at zero. The corporate spreads between, or excuse me, the spreads between corporates and treasuries were nowhere near this tight. Markets weren't as big of extremes. We're 30% higher, more highly valued on the S&P, 30% more highly valued on the S&P than we were in 2007. No. We more than that. I want to say we were at 15.7 or something on the... Anyway, what I'm saying is if you had a portfolio that lost 25% in 2008, 2009, you could easily lose 40 or 50 with that same portfolio. And it's not a prediction, but just due to the construction of the portfolio and what's going on in the economy and where rates are at and where spreads are at and the overvaluation of stocks. I've said this for months. Well, last year and a half. A 40% drop, a 45% drop in the market would get us back to the average long term. Okay, I got to run. Dirtiest word in investing. Going to get into it. Quick anecdotal model. Got my uncle. Actually happens to be here in the studio with me today. But he and I were talking about annuities the other day. He's like, you know, what are you doing with this whole annuities thing? I don't really get it. We walked him through the basic logic of, hey, first of all, if we use annuities as a bond replacement, the right kind of annuities, guys, be careful. For God's sakes, there's some bad products out there. They've got a bad reputation for a reason. But if we're using them as a safe asset and it gives us 50 to 60% upside in the stock market, which our products do, with a guarantee against loss, free liquidity every year, again, guarantee against loss and no management fees, not to us, not to the insurance companies. And we replace that with bonds. What do? These products on average, historically, I'm not making prognostications. Don't extrapolate. Don't go out and buy some annuity from somebody else and turn around and say, I bought it because what Zach said on the radio. These are a very specific type. But they've been averaging 5.5%, 6.5% in there over the last 40 years or so with zero downside risk. You replace a bond portfolio with that. We save you money. We improve your upside. And these things are uncapped. The ones we use are uncapped. We had products make 13% in 2017. That's not normal. But what I'm saying is we're wrong. And markets go up, you can make good money. Anyway, he got it. And he went, holy smokes, why isn't everybody else doing this? And I looked at him and I said, I don't know. It's crazy to us. But we've blown the performance of bonds out of the water while being safer and lowering our clients' fees. So anyway, be skeptical of annuities, but give us a call, 866-779-RISK, because they make a wonderful portfolio, and it's not just me. Look up Roger Ibbotson. He wrote a 16-page white paper on it, which you can find on our website at Bulwark Capital or at knowyourriskradio.com. Links to the website. Get the free booklet. Sign up for the free newsletter. Anyway, we got to run, but give us a call if you're not ready, 866-779-RISK. If you're worried about your portfolio, you're not talking about these things with your advisor or broker, give us a call. Get some certainty and get some protection. Anyway, we got to run. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com. Tune in next week to Know Your Risk Radio with your host, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.